Hi, my name is Kurt Kinder, and this is Saving Yourself from Wall Street, the podcast for people who want to avoid Wall Street's sales tactics, high cost, and conflicted advice so they can take control of their financial life. So let's get to it. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Saving Yourself from Wall Street. I appreciate you listening in, especially since I know it's tough to listen to my voice. I certainly have a voice for print media. Of course, I've been told I have the face for audio media, so I guess you're better off listening to me rather than having a look at me. Anyway, as I said in the intro, our goal is to help you take control of your financial life while simultaneously avoiding the shenanigans of the financial industry. So I'm going to do this by offering different information on this podcast. Now, it's not going to be me blathering on each episode with my annoying voice. I promise you that. I plan to put out an episode pretty much every week, and I'm going to try to use different formats to keep it interesting. If you ever listen to the podcast, maybe you've listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast. He has episodes where he'll interview folks. He has some where he just provides his insight on topics. Some episodes will be him just directly answering audience questions. He even has an infrequent segment where he calls folks while he's drunk and answers their questions. Now, I don't plan to do that because friends don't let friends discuss money while drunk, but I do want to offer several different ways for you to get this information. So I'll do some episodes with me discussing the tools and tactics that I find helpful for folks, as well exposing Wall Street's tactics and costs and how you should avoid them. Other episodes, I plan to interview subject experts that can provide you some really good information to help you with your financial life. Other segments might be me just answering questions directly. So if you have any questions, we'd love to have them. And I even plan to do some money makeovers for listeners when they throw me some information on their life. Finally, the other thing I like to do is some topical shows where I'll pull answers from all my different guests so you can get a wide variety of opinions on a different topic. So I really appreciate you listening in, and as I mentioned, I'd love to get your feedback and get your questions, but for now, let's get started. Now, whenever I talk about identity theft to people, I always bring up the sad case of Eldridge Woods. Poor guy had three credit cards taken out in his name for about $50,000, and they were trying to take out an auto loan when the auto salesperson kind of stopped and thought, wow, that's a really unique name. There can't be too many Eldridge Woods. He happened to know an Eldridge Woods. You probably know him too. His name's Tiger Woods. That's usually what he goes by. So for Tiger Woods, having $50,000 of credit taken out in your name, it's not a big thing. He just writes a check. He probably makes that on the front nine of the first tournament he plays. But for you and me, if we have $50,000 taken out in our names, we got a problem. So we're going to look at the three most common ways to protect your identity. And the first one is credit monitoring services. You probably see commercials for this all the time. Now, all of the three credit rating agencies, Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, they have a service that you can get from them. But you also have other ones like LifeLock, FreeCreditReport.com. And what these folks are doing is they're watching what happens with your credit. Now, the problem with it isn't doing anything proactively. It's only telling you once something has happened. So I'm not a real big fan of these because of that reason. And also, all of these monitoring services are going to charge you a fee, sometimes upwards of $99 a year. So I'm really not a real big fan of the credit monitoring services. So the second way you can protect your identity is with a fraud alert. So a fraud alert basically tells any kind of lender that, hey, we got a fraud alert on here. You need to do some extra steps to ensure the proper identification. Make sure you're lending to the person that you think you are. Now, the problem with the fraud alert is it's only active for 90 days, and it doesn't freeze up your credit. It just puts a fraud alert on there. So every 90 days, you'd have to do another fraud alert. Now, LifeLock and some other services will do this for you. So when LifeLock says they protect your identity, what they're doing essentially is just doing every 90 days, they take care of that for you. It's part of their fee. But you can still see it's not perfect because credit can still be given out, and you're hoping that the lender is going to do the proper steps to make sure they're lending to you and not somebody proposing to be you. So the third way to protect your identity is from a credit freeze. And this is actually what I do. So a credit freeze is different than the fraud alert. The freeze means it's shut down. So when a lender tries to get information on you, they get nothing. It just shows no credit. So any reputable lender is not going to give credit to someone if they can't get any information on their credit report. Now, there are some caveats with this. You have to make sure that you're probably not planning on taking out any credit in the near future, because it is a little bit of a laborious process. What you do is you have to let the three agencies know, again, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You have to contact them to freeze your credit. You can do it via letter, you can do it online. And then they also have a little fee associated with that. So most states have different rules, but you're probably looking at $5 to $10 for each agency to put the freeze on. And then if you do need to get credit, you've got to take the freeze off. Here again, you're gonna have $5 to $10 of fees to take your credit off, to lift it temporarily. But the beautiful thing is it is the most secure, and then you don't have to think about it again. The other big thing to think about on this, I also put the credit freeze on my children's credit. May seem kind of crazy, but there are a lot of people who steal identities that go after children. By the time your child actually looks to get some credit, maybe they're 18, 19, 20, and they find out they have bad credit already. So you want to get a credit freeze on your child as well. And then that one you can just kind of keep in place until they need credit in their late teenage years or early 20s. So those are the three basic ways that you can protect your identity: credit monitoring services, fraud alerts, or credit freezes. And again, I like the credit freeze, but it's totally up to you. So we're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with more information in just a second. I hope you're enjoying the content so far. I just want to let you know that we're committed to providing you with tons of information. Hopefully it'll be useful to your situation. But check out SavingYourselfFromWallStreet.com, where along with our podcast, you can find written articles, videos, and newsletters, all of it structured to help you take control of your financial life and avoid Wall Street's tactics. So what we try to do here is expose some of the tactics that Wall Street uses to take your money. We want to make sure that you keep every penny that you should. And a new report in the Wall Street Journal as of August 21st, 2018, by Jason Zweig, shows that there's a new way that Wall Street is ripping off their customers and clients. So in the report, Jason talks about how Merrill Lynch now has a process where they're taking clients' brokerage money markets. So this is money that sits in cash in a brokerage, and they're opening up depository accounts at Bank of America. Now you might know that Bank of America actually owns Merrill Lynch. So what they're doing is they're opening up depository accounts and putting the money market from the brokerage into the depository accounts. So what does all that mean? Well, in the money market account, you get a much higher interest rate. Money that you put in your pocket. With the Federal Reserve having raised rates a few times over the past couple years, we're starting to see a little bit of interest in money markets now. It's not at zero, it's now a little bit over 1%. But the depository accounts at Bank of America are still only paying 0.25%. So they put the money over there, you get 0.25% instead of maybe 1.5%, and then the bank gets the rest. In fact, let me quote a little bit directly from the article, because it's not just Merrill Lynch doing this. So this is directly from the Wall Street Journal article. The giant firm thus joins many other major brokerages, including Morgan Stanley and Charles Schwab Corp, in potentially capturing more of the income on cash balances for themselves, rather than passing most of it through to the clients. Such a move has steadily become more lucrative as the Federal Reserve raised interest rates. in the second quarter with rates nearly 1 percentage point higher than they were a year earlier. Brokerage firms indicated that as much as 25% of their gross profit came from what they earned off their customers' cash. In exchange for depositing their customers' uninvested cash at banks, often as in Merrill's case, banks affiliated with the firm, brokerages receive hefty fees. So here again, Wall Street's not working in your best interest. So what do you do? Well, first off, if you are with an account like Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Charles Schwab, make sure that your money's staying in a money market account and not a depository account. That will get you the most interest possible. And of course, what I always advocate is never work with somebody who makes money on the products they sell you. If they're making money off the products and they're making money off the advice, that's not a good combination for you. You want to work with somebody who only gets paid for their advice. Now, maybe I'm a bit biased because we are a fee-only financial planning firm, but we think that that is the most objective way to get financial advice. Well, that's it for this episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. I appreciate you stopping in. As always, you can find our podcast along with other articles and videos at savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. And now, the lawyers say hi.
Saving Yourself from Wall Street is hosted by Kurt Kinder. Kurt Kinder is the owner of Picket Fence Financial, a fee-only financial planning firm. Picket Fence Financial is regulated by the states of Maryland and Florida in accordance and in compliance with securities laws and regulations. Picket Fence Financial does not render or offer to render personalized financial or tax advice through the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.